Mike Tomlin, for the first time in his career, is playing games, not naming a starting quarterback, but says, I'm going to keep it in-house. We'll get to all of that. But, Mike, this Carson Beck quote, and I'm going to read it to you guys, because heading into this game, just to put things in perspective, Texas has the number one defense in points allowed. They're giving up 6 points a game. Number two defense in yards allowed. They're giving up 103 yards a game. Number two passing defense around the country in yards allowed. They're only allowing 126. And Carson Beck is going to have to play his role, his position, and be great on Saturday for the Dogs to come out victorious. But, Mike, he came out and he said, again, I do a good job of staying level-headed. And I think that's really important in my position, especially when things, you know, are going bad. But I think that's something that I've been working on, is trying to be more positive and show more energy and enthusiasm, show confidence in the guys around me and when we do well. And, you know, instill positive energy into them. So I see this. I hear Carson Beck. But this sounds like he's not 100% confident and certainly not building his own guys up enough to give them the confidence that, hey, not only are we going to go into Austin and win this thing, but, Mike, is he a little shaky? Is he a little nervous?
Well, it has come up before in the past. Kirby's addressed it. He brought this up last year. And as we said, you know, talking to Abe and Andy, it's cool that, you know, he's as forthcoming with that. But I don't really want to hear that necessarily. I mean, you can feel it. You can think it. But it's all of a sudden it's like smoking the bandit. But don't say it. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, I want to be better. And, you know, he talks about, you know, having confidence. Look, everybody struggles with confidence until you find yourself in that role. And some guys, that's the chip on their shoulder that drives their career sometimes, I guess. But this is a dude who's talked about this a few times in his tenure at Georgia's QB.
Well, so what happened in the second half of the Alabama game? I mean, if that's not going to give you any confidence,
yeah,
I don't know what
you
does.
Brought this team back from, I mean, what looked like certain defeat. You got them in position to win, and it wasn't your fault that they couldn't, you know, corral the best wide receiver in college football. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's in this game plan, you just touched on it. Texas has got great defensive passing numbers, but they haven't played anybody with a passing offense like Georgia.
404-726-0929. Carson Beck did throw for 459 against Miss State. Miss State ain't Texas. He did throw for 439 against Alabama. Most of that was in the second half, and we know ultimately they lost that game. But he's shown the ability to carry the team, and that's something that we said going into the season. Like, hey, in these big moments, you didn't worry about that with Stetson Bennett once you started to believe that he could do it. And I don't know if you're worried about that with Carson Beck. Mike, this may be a game, depending on how it plays out, because I think Texas controls the line of scrimmage, and I think they control the clock. You may have to have Carson Beck throw for a lot more than you expected, at least going in. And let's be honest about this Georgia running game. Mike, you've been talking about this all week long. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. The problem is that Georgia has not consistently run the ball well. When you're talking about a four-yard average or less than with ETN and company, I just don't know, Mike, ranked in the country, around the country in rushing yards. Georgia's averaging 134 yards, guys. That's 92nd in the country. I don't know if you go into this game and say we're going to run the ball down Texas's throat when you really haven't done that all season against anybody.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when we brought Trevor Etienne into Georgia, you thought, okay, this guy's going to have a big-time impact. And all remember during the preseason, everybody talked about, you know, being a leader, how everybody's blown away by how good he looks and, you know, all the stuff you've been hearing about making this run game more dynamic. And it just hasn't translated yet. I mean, two touchdowns and 80 yards against Auburn is one thing. But, yeah, still, you're left wanting. So unless Mike Bobo, and we joked around, and you and I used the phrase, I heard Randy use it yesterday, the greatest sandbag job in the history. No, you had to grind to beat Miss State. You had to grind to beat, you know, Auburn. I know it was, you want to talk about game control, you had it, but that doesn't reflect on the scoreboard. Tate Ratledge is questionable. Wonder if he's going to find a way to tape it up, shoot it up, and go. Because the plugging in different guys in the offensive line, maybe that's the reason why things haven't worked the way they should in the run game.
Turtle, let's put up a poll. I want to know how confident Dog fans are in Carson Beck handling this situation. And more importantly, going to get a dub. I mean, listen, you may say this is not an issue. He was just expressing himself. But I get a sense he's saying in this quote again, and this is what he said, I've been working on that, trying to stay positive, show more energy and enthusiasm.
That comes with the job. I mean, we're not telling anybody in their car or here at the bar anything they don't know. The quarterback's got to be that focal point.
He does.
And, you know, does he need a sports psychologist? I mean, does he need John Smoltz's old guy to get in there? Because Smoltz, you know, that certainly turned his career around. I don't know.
I don't know either. We know he's got the ability and the talent. Is he going to be able to deliver on Saturday against the Horns? That is the question. Turtle, put that poll question up. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station, guys, at 929 The Game, and stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. Here is Kirby Smart, Mike. You just talked about the O-line. He went on Scott Van Pelt. Mike texted me this, I think it was last night, as we watched the Saints get beat. Hi, Saints fans. And he mentioned this on Scott Van Pelt, saying his most concern is the offensive line. Here's Kirby Smart.
Yeah, it's in the offensive line. You know, we've had guys the last couple weeks in and out, in and out, in and out. We've got a couple guys in and out of practice this week. So it's been a struggle to kind of put that group together. But I know this, they're one of the toughest groups we've got. So they'll be next man up and get ready to go fight and play.
Next man up. We hear that quite a bit. Next man up, we say it, is sometimes not as good as the guy that he's stepping in for. And for Kirby, that's been the issue, Mike. They haven't consistently had five guys that they can count on, right? I mean, for Texas, for those people who don't know, this offensive line has pretty much played together for the last 3 years. They got three pros on the O-line, and that's why everybody says they got probably the best offensive line in the country. That was Georgia a couple of years ago. We know that. But this is a concern for Kirby going into the game, which also says what? Can they protect Carson Beck?
Well, that's it. I mean, the trenches, you just laid it out. The trenches is an advantage to Texas. Now, unless Mykael Williams can come in and just totally disrupt what Texas is trying to do. And that look, we're looking for a superstar. I mean, you're holding out for a hero.
I need a hero.
Georgia needs a defensive hero. We've talked about all the guys. No, again, whatever they did in the NFL, if they stink in the NFL, who cares? But those guys were good enough to be considered the best in the draft because what they put on tape at UGA and dominating the SEC, dominating teams all the way to the championship, the way they beat Michigan, coming back against Ohio State, destroying TCU, you know, finding a way against Bama 3 years back. But they don't really have that guy other than Mykael Williams. I mean, you know, you have Smile Monthan, he's out. You know, you've got Malachi Starks. You got. There's no lack of stars, but the big stud on the defense who's going to be the Kool-Aid man and just ripping things up. They don't have that guy this year.
Mike, can we say this? Like, Carson Beck needs to be great, just not good. He needs to be great.
No,
tomorrow.
You really do need to be great and be confident. Look in the mirror and say, "Gosh darn it, I'm considered a top 10 pick, and people like me." Do it, man. You got to get after it, bro.
I feel the same way. We want to know what you guys think. Hit us up on our text line, 404-726-0929. You guys can always find us on social media as well. Plenty about the Dogs throughout the course of the show. It's weird. I was at a couple of different places a day. I had to go by a cellular store. Won't mention the name. and then I literally stopped.
On a scale of 1 to 10, customer service.
and then I stopped by the PGA Superstore, which I will mention.
You can't walk out of there for under $200.
Well, so here's the deal. A buddy of mine was telling me, "You got to try this putter." And I'm like every other golf idiot. I'm like, I'll go check it out. And you know, of course, the putter felt good in my hands, and I liked it. And then I walked to the counter, and I'm like, "Am I really buying this putter? Because I don't need it." But literally, while I was in there, a couple of guys, they know me. Chris over here runs a store up here in Kennesaw, and I saw a couple of guys. And everybody, Mike, you know this, all week long, it's been like, "What do you think? What do you think?
Right.
Dogs." He said to me that there are friends, he's got a couple of friends, that are going to go camping because they're afraid that the Dogs are going to end up losing this game and they don't want to watch.
Oh, so that's not the right attitude.
So they're going to go camping. And I said, "That's how you feel about this weekend? Like, dog fans, where's the confidence?"
But you'd rather get eaten by a bear than watch your team play the biggest game of the year?
That's what he said. He said he's going to go camping because he's fearful of this turning into a rout. Now, I don't think that's the case. Even if the Dogs lose this game, guys, I don't think it's going to be a rout. They're going to show up. Kirby's teams are too damn good to say, "Hey, we're going to go to Austin and get beat by 35. But it's interesting to hear the range of opinions about going into tomorrow.
Well, the Alabama game, you know, had you found a way to pull that one out? It's just, as we said, I think the big thing amongst Georgia fans is the defense isn't lights out. And when your defense isn't historically good like it was for the championship years, you're just kind of like everybody else in the top 15.
Yep.
You're a high scoring, you're a high scoring offense. You've got five stars on defense, but it's not the defense which is going to completely stymie everything Texas is trying to do.
Coming up, B-Mac, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, co-host of All Things Covered, CBS NFL analyst, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about our game, guys. Can we contain Kenneth Walker on Sunday as we attempt to go for four straight? And what else is going on around the NFL? Lots of storylines heading into this weekend's matchups. B-Mac joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Happy Friday, everybody. Hanging out at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw location. Getting ready for the big game tomorrow. Dogs taking on Texas, number one in the country on the road. And if the Dogs win, Mike, not only are they alive still, obviously, for the SEC championship game, but I just think it will instill a lot of confidence moving forward. We're asking you about the confidence of Carson Beck at Dukes and Bell 929 after his comments about poise.
Right.
You're 100% confident in him. 50-50, a little worried. 25-75, very worried, or zero confidence in him. You can go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. Let's welcome in our man, B-Mac Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, who joins us, CBS NFL analyst. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit the Man Cave Store this season. Up your Man Cave game at mancavestore.com. B-Mac, I want to start with us. I'm talking about the Falcons taking on the Seahawks. We're going for four straight. How do we contain Kenneth Walker? Because I think that's going to be key. I know Geno's throwing it around a lot. But, you know, they're desperate. They're coming in here. They got to snap this losing streak. We're feeling pretty good about where we are. What do you see as a key to victory for the Falcons coming up on Sunday?
Well, you're talking about Kenneth Walker. Oddly enough, guys, I don't know what it is, but they take the football away from him. You know, they have limited his carries. I don't know if he's healthy, whatever the case may be. But if you look at the last few ball games with him in the lineup, they just have basically effaced him out of the game plan by themselves. But I think they need to find a way to get the running game going. So to answer your question, the best way for Atlanta to slow down and just kind of neutralize Kenneth Walker is to play with the right gap integrity and, most importantly, containment. Because the thing about Kenneth Walker, he's a bouncer. He's a guy that doesn't mind bouncing the football outside. And if he can break containment, that's when he's at his deadliest, in my opinion. When you look at some of his big-time runs and just when he starts to get in the rhythm, he loves to take the football outside and break containment. So if you can utilize the right containment and keep him in the pocket, in between the tackles, there lies the opportunity to be successful.
It's our man, Bryant McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We always get a kick when you have a player from another team or has some experience with something to do with the other team's game plan. And, again, Michael Penix worked with Ryan Grubb as the OC for the University of Washington. So he's been the scout quarterback all week. How much goes into that? Because this is one, from a fan standpoint, Bryant, it really seems like we may have an insight into some of that secret sauce.
That's super important because when you talk about Michael Penix, giving the defense a sound look this week, he was hands-on with Coach Grubb throughout his time in Washington, especially a year ago. So even though there might be some different nuances added to his playbook since becoming the OC there in Seattle, he still has some go-to calls that he loves to rely on. That's just a coaching mindset. You know, when you talk about having coaches coach in different places, they still have go-to plays that they rely on, red zone situations, right? First down coming out, third down situations, fourth down plays. And 9 times out of 10, guys, Penix, he has an inside scoop on what he might go to, which plays he might go to in those critical moments of a ball game. So this is a great situation for Atlanta, even though you still have to play the game. But if you're prepared as best as possible, that can instantly put you in positions to make plays.
Look, being a former DB, I know you studied the game a little different. I think Geno will throw it to you. We've seen that. He's got 6 interceptions, even though he's thrown for over 1,700 yards, which leads the league, ironically. So you want him to throw the ball around? The Falcons go into this and say, hey, Geno, come beat us? Because, again, he's prone to throw picks.
Yes, that's what you want. Like, call Mike, if you can make an offense one-dimensional, that works in favor of the defense. So if you're telling me, Geno, you want to throw it 50-plus times a game, if you're Atlanta, that's what you want. Because now they have no sense of balance. So now when it comes to the pass rushers, you don't have to really worry as much about the run as you probably would, knowing that they just want to throw it around the yard. And to your point, he's been doing a great job in carving up yards. But he has untimely turnovers that have surfaced in his game throughout this season. That's why they're in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. It has been because of turnovers. So if you look at what we've seen from Atlanta, A.J. Terrell finally got his hands on one. They come in bunches. He needs to get ready once again because when you get one, they usually come in bunches.
Our man, B-Mac, Bryant McFadden with us here as we're live from Twin Peaks up in Kennesaw. B, you look at the run game, and, you know, we've had a hard time getting the quarterback on the ground, but we're giving up a lot of rushing yards. Carl's first question, talking about what they're trying to do. Do you feel that as the season evolves, we do need to go make something happen before the trade deadline, or is the solution in the building?
You know what? I'm a firm believer. You have to see what's out there. Like, in this NFL world that we're currently living in and watching, it's different than it used to be back in the day, where you really didn't see any activity happen before the trade deadline. Everyone kind of stayed put. But now, in this world that we're living in, yeah, you have to see what's out there, because the window in terms of winning a championship is open, but sometimes it's open wider than other times. And for the Atlanta Falcons, at this moment where you are, where they are as a team, you got to see what's out there, because if you have an opportunity to add one more piece to kind of solidify some concerns on your team, let's do it. You have to, because you never know what the makeup of the team will look like outside of this season. So when you have a window of opportunity there to improve and it makes sense when it comes to the resources, why not?
B, as we go around the NFL, Bryant McFadden joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about all the things that are happening around the NFL. Guys, we got some headlines coming up and also a special Georgia guest scheduled to join us a little bit later on in the show. What the hell is Mike Tomlin doing? Like, I love Mike T.
Yeah.
You know I trust Mike T's decision-making. He's never had a losing season. But why cause this issue today when he came out and said, and this is a direct quote, I don't know if you've seen this or not, when asked about whether or not there was going to be a quarterback change, he said, I'm going to keep it in-house.
Yep.
He's made a decision about Sunday with the Jets, but he's going to keep it in-house. What is he doing, B?
I'm a bit confused as well, honestly. And my thing with Mike Tomlin, knowing him and playing for him for some years, anything that he does, there's a strategy in place with it, right? And one thing about Pittsburgh, they're a very private organization. They're not like one of these organizations that they love to have the microphone in front of them so they can broadcast what's going on. But just to entertain the thought of starting Russell was confusing to me, because a week ago we just saw 30-plus points. That was the first time the Steelers scored 30-plus points the entire season. We saw explosion happen within the offense, and Justin Fields probably had his best game. And they're 4-2 in a very, very important ball game a week ago against the Raiders. And now,
B, real quick. I only update this because George Pickens spoke in the locker room and he just said, I've been putting in extra work with quarterback Russell Wilson after practice because this is his first start.
Oh, snap.
Oh, wow.
So Tomlin 30 minutes ago said, I'm going to keep it in-house. Pickens just said, I've been putting in extra work with quarterback Russell Wilson after practice, more than usual,
okay,
because this is his first start. There's your update. All right, go ahead and finish what you were saying about the confusion. There it is.
Hey, George didn't get the memo, did he?
No, obviously.
He didn't get the memo. Well, there you have it. Russell is starting. I'm a bit surprised, because the thing is with this guy, let's say, hypothetically speaking, and this is just how the game of football goes. You guys know this. Pittsburgh might come out and look flat offensively, lose the ball game, but Russell is the starter. The first thing that will be talked about or asked, was that the right thing to do? You leave that window open for something like that, and that could just happen regardless who the quarterback is. But if that happens and Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback, now you have to go and answer all of these questions. Was that the right thing to do? Are you second-guessing yourself? If so, do you go back to Justin Fields? I felt like this, guys. I know in Pittsburgh there is an unwritten rule within the organization that a starter doesn't lose his job to injury, right? I understand that. But if you're at the blackjack table, you never leave the table after hitting blackjack. Meaning, if something is working, Don't be extremely fast to remove what has been working. In my opinion, I would allow Justin Fields to play himself out of the starting job. Me personally.
Sure.
That's what
sure.
I would have done. Right. I would have said, listen, as long as we win in ball games and Justin Fields, you're playing good football, decent football, it's your job. But when we see otherwise, if your production is slipping, you're being sloppy with the football and we're losing, okay, now, Russell, let's go. Take over. So that's what I would have done, because one thing about sports, when you have a rhythm, you don't want to mess up that rhythm, because you might not be able to get that rhythm back.
And B, just as a follow-up, it seems like for what we've read and what we're hearing is Arthur Smith has Justin Fields back. You know, he tries to keep it simple, wants to run the ball, and I'm not sure where this – it makes it so strange about the Steelers to create this kind of controversy. Speaking of controversy, on the flip side, how quickly does Devontae Adams plug in, and did Aaron Rodgers leak him the playbook?
I think he plugs in rather quickly into the second question. No question. Yeah. 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 And you know what? I tweeted out. I said, as soon as the trade was finalized, Devontae was out there on the grass with the guys running full speed. I'm like, that hamstring really, it healed mighty fast.
It's a miracle.
That hamstring feeling real good right now.
I don't know what happened.
Hey, Devontae is going to fit in nicely because 9 times out of 10 before this trade became finalized, they've been having some discussions. You know what I mean? I'm willing to bet they've been communicating to some degree. Clearly, he's still in football shape, even though he hasn't played a meaningful game in some weeks. He's going to be ready to go. And oddly enough, this one thing about Devontae Adams, he's had success against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It doesn't matter what team he's been with, Green Bay or with the Raiders. He's done rather well against the Pittsburgh Steelers, so that's going to be a very, very intriguing game Sunday night because there's a lot at stake for both teams. The Jets, you know, they can't afford to become, 2-5 in 7 games. And then with Pittsburgh, Russell making his first start, you know, how would that look?
B, I know it's a few days away, but the Monday night game has me intrigued. Ravens, Bucks. We saw the Saints basically die last night. Hi, Saints fans.
And quit. Some say quit, Carl.
Well, they might as well. And the Bucs are riding high, right? They've scored more points than anybody. I think they're tied for the most points in the league. And here comes Lamar and company. Lamar's playing better right now than his 2 MVP seasons, if you looked at the numbers.
Yes.
So what gives? Because Todd Bowles has got to find a way to contain Lamar. And we know what the Ravens, you know, run game has been with Henry. I mean, guys, Henry's got 8 touchdowns already. 8.
Listen, one thing you guys know about divisional football, right? You cheer for the team that's playing against your divisional foe. That makes sense. You know what I mean? And to your point, you guys were applauding watching the Saints get kicked in the mouth for 4 quarters by the Denver Broncos because that's what you need in the division. So let me provide some more, you know, light and happiness for the Falcons fans that are listening to us. I'm taking Baltimore all day Monday against Tampa. Yes, Tampa's been looking good. Baker Mayfield could be in that. He should be in that MVP conversation in the first quarter because he's done phenomenally well, right? But one thing I know about Lamar Jackson, and this is something that I rely on when it comes to trends, I follow the trend. Lamar Jackson is great against NFC teams. I saw a stat. I don't know. I can't remember the exact number, but I saw something where he's like 22-2 against NFC teams. When he plays against NFC teams, he dominates. And the reason why, guys, is because most NFC teams, they don't see that type of player consistently at the quarterback position like Lamar to have success. When you talk about what he's done against NFC teams compared to AFC teams, especially in the division, the teams in the division, they're used to going against Lamar Jackson, the dual threat, how elusive he is, the speed, the quickness. But whenever he faces off against a team that's not accustomed to seeing that type of talent at the quarterback position, he balls out against them. I mean, look at last week against Washington. Look at earlier in the year against the Cowboys. Even go back to last year, Christmas night game against San Francisco at a time where San Francisco was looking like the best team in the NFL. And remember what Lamar did when he went to San Fran? They couldn't stop him. So the question about what should we expect, I'm expecting Lamar Jackson to do what he's done in his professional career against NFC teams is dominate. And you throw in Derrick Henry, no question. So I'm taking Baltimore all day and all day, every day of the week against Tampa. Now, anything can happen, but I'm just giving you the trends on what Lamar has done against NFC teams.
Right, and hopefully they soften up Tampa Bay for us. We get that rematch, and Tampa Bay's still smarting after our Thursday night win. We got 30 seconds left, B-Mac. The Super Bowl rematch, Chiefs and 49ers. 49ers are a 1.5-point favorite. You know, they're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors without McCaffrey. What do you think of this game? How's it going to shake out?
Anytime Pat Mahomes is getting points as an underdog, I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes. They will find a way to win. And Pat Mahomes, number-wise, he hasn't given you the Pat Mahomes numbers that we've seen. But they're still finding ways to win, and I don't expect that to change. Once again, if you go back to that Super Bowl game, Mike, that you mentioned, remember, they were underdogs in that game as well. Kansas City was. And we saw how that played out. So I'm taking Kansas City against San Francisco. They just find a way to win. And last thing, too, in terms with that game, Andy Reid coming off a bye is one of the best coaches in the National Football League when he has an extra time to prepare for that said opponent. So those two things factor into my thought when you look at what you will see, what you think you will see. I expect Kansas City to win.
Check out the podcast, guys. It's called All Things Covered. Brian McFadden, CBS NFL analyst and two-time Super Bowl champion. Hey, man, tell Mike T stop tripping up there, all right? Will you?
Hey, I got to tell George Pickens stop tripping. You folks keep getting in the
shut up, shut up, shut up.
You broke all the news for us, man.
He did. He really did. Brian, man, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
That is too funny that George Pickens actually goes, yeah, man, I've been working with extra work with Russell. So now, see, that's Pickens.
That's him.
I can't. Fields ain't getting me the rock.
That's him.
It's just.
That's not a good look, Mike.
It's just. It's a little selfish for those who don't get it.
Yes.
It is what it is.
No, I totally agree with you.
I guess you're in line with Mr. Unlimited.
Well, here's the deal. If you think Russ can push the ball down the field better, and they'll attempt it, we'll see what it looks like.
But all indications are it's not coming from Arthur Smith unless. They're getting it wrong up there.
I don't know. All right, this is going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Hey, when we come back, though, we hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
You like that?
QB Report brought to you by our friends at Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. You'll hear what Kirk has to say about the upcoming game Sunday next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I were just talking with Brian McFadden about what happened in Pittsburgh today. If you're just joining us, Mike Tomlin's been trying to keep it behind closed doors as to what they want to do with the quarterback situation, even though they made it public that Russ was taking first team reps this week. So when Tomlin spoke, and it's been about an hour or so ago, he basically said, I'm going to keep it in-house.
How'd that sound, Coach?
We're going to keep it in-house. And then Steelers wide receiver and former dog, always a dog, right?
Right.
George Pickens, who, by the way, has not caught a touchdown this season, comes out and he's doing an interview, and Pickens said, yeah, I've been putting in some extra work. So we want you to hear this. Because Pickens just told everybody what's going on with the Steelers when Mike Tomlin obviously did not want anybody to know heading into Sunday night against the Jets. Let's play this, Mike, and then we'll talk about it. You're also going to hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. This is George Pickens.
Have you noticed him putting in extra time this week, maybe working with you one-on-one just to try to get on the same page?
Yeah, getting on the same page after practice throwing more than usual because, you know, this is first start.
Oh, more than usual.
Because it's his first start.
Let me ask you this. Has Pickens not been doing this with Justin Fields?
Do they not laugh at the same jokes?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Has Pickens forged a relationship with Russell Wilson and gone behind Justin Fields' back?
Well, here's the deal.
I like Pickens. I just want Pickens to grow up. I know people get upset. There's some guys you go, don't criticize. You criticize an athlete. Some of these jock sniffers getting in their panties all in a twist. But, I mean, Pickens, make more plays, keep both feet in bounds, and do your freaking job.
Score
and take it seriously and run your routes.
I agree.
But, okay, well, good luck. Now, hopefully, if you start exploding with Russell Wilson, then there you go. And then the Steelers' offense is off and running. And then I'll say, take a knee to you. You were right, Pickens.
All right. Two things, though. And if that happens, great. But this is still about play calling, Mike. When I went to that game a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you something, and you can go back and watch it. I don't know why you would. They didn't throw the ball down the field against the Cowboys. The entire game, there was a 120-yard reception. And you know when that happened? Justin Fields got hurt. He got hit.
Right.
And because he was on the field and medical staff came out, he had to leave for a play. Russell runs onto the field, and literally Tomlin's like, you're not going in. And they put the third-string guy in, and they throw a pass. I think it was a 17-yard completion. Mike, that's it. Go watch the Steelers. They're not throwing the ball down the field. So what I'm saying to you is maybe this is Tomlin saying, I'm going to start Russ, and I need to see more vertical passing game. But that's not Pickens or that's not Russell Wilson making that decision. That's Arthur Smith calling those plays.
Well, I mean, maybe, you know, it's funny. As Falcon fans, we were always upset with the lack of vertical passing game under Arthur Smith. Now, some of that was some awful quarterbacks we had here. But maybe when you're the head coach, you can say, we're doing this. You know.
Yes.
So it is interesting. And by the way, I mean, you go back, you came back from that Pittsburgh trip. And the video, it speaks for itself. I mean, we've talked about it. Now, unless you guys all played wide receiver in the NFL, I don't want to hear it. He's lollygagging. Pickens is out there basically just blanking off
and
not running the routes.
So now all of a sudden he's putting in extra work after practice.
It's going to be – there's all these great storylines with Devontae Adams and the Jets. This is must-see TV with the Jets traveling to Pittsburgh.
No doubt about it.